Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, hello and good morning. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin, and I'm just happy to be here. Mello is here, too. I got to turn that down. No more beeping, right?
No more. Hi, Mello. Good morning.
How are you?
Fantastic. It's Friday.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm so happy.
Big weekend plans?
Hopefully not.
No.
Actually, I am. I'm going to go to a pottery class on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
Pottery.
Yeah, like throwing pottery on the wheel?
Yeah, no. That's a kiln, right?
Yeah, tilted kiln. Yeah.
Tilted kiln.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. Is that
Is that the name of the place?
Mm-hmm.
Tilted kiln. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, have fun. I've made no bones about it. I am not a visual artist whatsoever. I can't draw. I can't make pottery. I can't paint. That's just not me. And everybody's like, oh, if you tried, you. No, I've tried.
Well, your attitude determines your outcome.
No, it does not always. Sometimes you have to. Clint Eastwood once said, a man's got to know his limitations.
Okay.
I know my limitations.
There you go.
I'm a good writer.
You are a great writer.
I am proud of the way I can write. I think I'm decent at radio, too, but I'm not. If I were to look out the window, look at the beautiful red rocks and the green trees and everything, you asked me to paint that, it would not be good at all.
I don't know. Those paint night classes are so fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did one of those recently, too, and it was... I couldn't believe it looked like a pumpkin when I was done.
You did it?
I did it.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
My son even said, can I have that? It's so beautiful. I'm like, yes, you can have that.
My wife is so patient because we paint pumpkins every year. We paint them, you know, and then after Halloween, then we cut them up and make pumpkin puree out of them that we'll have all year long, stick it in the freezer. It's kind of cool, but my pumpkin is always the ugliest one, and it's not even close.
Oh, I mean, I painted one that looked like a pumpkin.
Right.
Yeah.
But I actually paint pumpkins in it.
That's cool.
It's not good.
I haven't done that.
My wife's is pretty. My dad's beautiful. And my daughter's, who is majoring in art right now at SUU, so good. And then there's mine. It's like, how old was the kid that drew, that painted this? A 3-year-old, huh? No, it was a 58-year-old kid. Yeah.
At least you try. You're there and enjoying the moment. You're making everybody else's look better. That's great.
Adam Snow is going to call in. There has been a decision handed down from the Bureau of Land Management. And the decision is, well, I don't want to get too much into it yet until we talk to Adam, because he has more detail. He's right. He's got his ear to the ground on this one. But basically, they're saying Northern Corridor ain't happening. They are not going to let it go through the desert reserve there.
And the tortoise thing?
Yeah, they're offering they're kind of mandating, saying this is what you're going to do instead.
Wow.
And it's not the one-way St. George Boulevard 100 South thing that a lot of people were afraid of. Thank goodness, because that would have just really screwed up. It would have changed the whole face of the city.
Sure it would.
But the alternate that they're mandating, they're saying that we need to do, and we'll find out if it's over. I don't think it's over yet. That's why I'm careful in how I'm saying it, because I think Adam Snow and folks here in Southern Utah still have a say and a lawsuit and things to. But maybe it's over. Maybe I'm wrong. But apparently, the Northern Corridor is not going to happen. So, which is very. I think a lot of people are very disappointed.
Yeah.
But there are a few happy people. Most of them wear belts made out of hemp and stuff like that. I didn't say that. Come on now.
Come on. Be nice. Right.
I want to take just a minute. We got 5 minutes here, and talk about the power of stories. Have you ever been sitting in a meeting and they're going over, whether it's a church meeting, they're maybe going over doctrine, or it's a business meeting, they're going over nuts and bolts, X's and O's. And you're just like, oh, my gosh, this is so boring, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it happens, like, to all of us. And and then someone busts out a story, an illustration story maybe of how they feel the way they do, or how they, you know, in church, how they might, you know feel about God and the Savior. But they use a story to illustrate it. And all of a sudden you're riveted. You're like, ooh, hey, this is interesting.
Right, and then you can apply it, kind of like the parables.
Yeah, we love stories.
We
and
do.
There's a good article online about storytelling, And I'm going to get to the right page so I can tell you about the article. And here I am not finding the right page. The Therapeutic Power of Storytelling. It's written by a guy by the name of Walker Larson. And he's actually very well, he backs up what he's saying about storytelling. And it's really good. And he's just, you know, even that they found that. So remember Dr. Blodgett the other day was talking about how sometimes veterans, their PTSD, one of the reasons they have a hard time with post-traumatic stress is they're not able to get enough sleep. Mm-hmm. He said if they get enough sleep and get to that REM portion of the night, it will actually help relieve some of that post-traumatic stress. This writer actually talks about that in that there are stories. When we are in a deep sleep and dream, mm-hmm. our brain is telling stories to us.
True.
And that actually helps relieve some of the stress in these people's lives, in veterans' lives, and in everyday people's lives. People who are mourning, for mm-hmm. instance, if you've lost a loved one, if you're able to get a good night's sleep and actually dream, it actually is very comforting to the soul to be able to have your brain tell you a story. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, one thing he also said that was interesting was, you know, when you take, like, cough medicine or people that are addicted to mm-hmm. sleeping
you're
pills.
You're not.
So I actually have been suffering with a cough, and I haven't been sleeping great because I've been taking NyQuil every night. So after we talked to him, I stopped taking the NyQuil, and I think I'm actually getting better now.
It's working. Yeah. I don't think you've coughed. Now that we're saying it, you're going to.
I'll turn the volume down. I don't think
you've coughed since you've been here, and you've mm-hmm. been here 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So way to go.
Yeah, way to go, Dr. Blodgett. Thank you.
He's a smart guy. All right, so I thought I would tell a story and see if I could rivet your attention. All right. So, and then we're going to hear from Adam here in about 5 minutes. So I got a 5 minute story for you. The year was 1986. I was a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I was in South Jersey in a little place called Laurel Springs. And we lived on the third floor apartment, and it was interesting. This apartment only had outdoor stairs, no cover. Mm. And so I was there in the wintertime. So when it got icy and snowy, we had to climb these outdoor stairs, three floors, and they were kind of treacherous little, you know, the kind you can see through, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not great with heights anyway, and so that was kind of interesting. But while I was there, my missionary companion, got sick. It was mononucleosis, which I don't know how he got it, being a missionary, but he got mono. And the diagnosis for mono to get better, Sleep, more sleep, don't go anywhere. It's very infectious, don't go anywhere. So mm-hmm. we, for about 3 weeks, were stuck in this apartment.
Mm.
So this is February, and my birthday was coming up. My birthday is March 1st, so my birthday was coming up, and I'm stuck in this apartment. And as a missionary, you want to stay busy, right? But we're stuck in the apartment. So I decided I'm going to embark upon a phone call campaign. I was going to call every person that lived in this ward, this South Jersey ward. It was at the time it was called the Pittman ward, I was going to call everyone in Audubon. That's what it was, Audubon ward. I was going to call everyone and ask if they had any referrals, ask if they, I was begging if they wanted mm-hmm. to get fetus dinner and stuff like that. But I had to make all the appointments a few weeks out because my companion was sick. So finally, my comp got better and then got transferred. So like 3 days after he got better, they transferred him out. Another guy came in.
Mm-hmm.
Me and this new elder who happens to be from St. George, his name is Dale Impey. Anyway, we were at church one Sunday and these girls came, and I say girls, they were 19. They came mm-hmm. and sat in front of us at church. And I looked at the one girl and I'm like, I think I know her. And so after the church meeting was over, I went over to her and I said, aren't you Cindy? And she's like, oh, yeah. Hey, oh, I forgot you were here on a mission. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry, by the way. I was like, sorry for what? And she said, well, I just went to a wedding. Your former girlfriend just got married.
She was a plant.
I was like, wait, what? And she said, yeah, I just went to her wedding. Now, I'd been out on my mission about 9 months, and my girlfriend had stopped writing me about 3 or 4 months prior to that. And so I didn't know what had happened. And so this Cindy says, yeah, I just went to her wedding. I'm like, really? And she goes, oh, and it was one of those weddings. You know, she was kind of round.
No.
I was like, what? She says, yeah, they had to get married. And back then, if you got pregnant, you had to get married. That's what we did. Anyway, so here I am out in middle of New Jersey. It's snowy and cold. We had these outdoor stairs up on the third floor. And I find out my girlfriend, who had stopped writing me, was pregnant with another person's baby and married the guy. And yeah, I was kind of, my birthday was like in a week, less than a week. So I should have been happy, but I was not happy. I was homesick. I was upset. You know, I would submit that's worse than a Dear John letter, finding out your girlfriend got pregnant with someone else and got married.
Why was that random Cindy there at church sitting in front of you?
Well, as it turns out, she had come out to be a nanny. A lot of the richer families in South Jersey would hire Utah girls to be nannies because they knew these Utah girls had impeccable character.
Mm-hmm.
And she had come out to be a nanny. And it was just a coincidence that we met. So anyway, to make a long story short, I always say that, but it's too late. it's already a long story. Anyway, I had made an appointment during the time that my one companion was sick to go to this one house. The Lorito house was the family's name. And we went over there on my birthday and just to go for a dinner appointment and give a little message and stuff. And when I got there, they had found out that it was my birthday and that I had just been Dear John. And they were so nice. They had made a birthday cake for me, and it was shaped like a teddy. But my nickname in high school was Andy Bear.
Oh,
it was
shaped so
like
cute.
A teddy bear. And their 16-year-old daughter had made enchiladas for us. And it was just really, really cool. Maybe she was 17. Anyway, it was just really, really cool. And it kind of lifted me out of the dumps a little bit.
Sweet.
Well, the girl that had made the enchiladas and the cake, her name was Shelly. And a little foreshadowing there, I am married to a girl named Shelly. Is it the same person? Why? Yes, yes, of course it is.
Didn't know that.
Yes. And she, she ended up coming out to BYU about a year later, about the time I finished my mission. And we met up at BYU and been dating ever since. That was she came out in 1987, June of 1987.
That is so sweet. I never knew that story.
So it's a story. It's a cool story. It is a cool story. I love that story, and I'll tell it over and over and over again. I love it. But it's one of those things that we were just talking about, and that author was writing about. Stories capture your mind and imagine. You go, okay, I got to hear the end of this. This is fascinating. And you know, I don't know that there's a point to my story, except that I'm a lot happier. I'm glad that this girl got pregnant while I was gone and married someone else, because if she hadn't, things would have never, you know, happened between Shelly and I. So it's a great story. And I don't know. Like I said, at the time when we got married, I always say this, and it's totally true. When we got married, I thought, oh, she's so lucky to have me. Right? And then after a few years, I was like, we're so lucky to have each other. Now that I'm a bit older, I realize I am so lucky to have her. And it's not
amazing.
Even close.
She's so fun.
Yeah. So 9:22 right now on KDXU. I think Adam is going to call us here any minute. We're going to talk about the Northern Corridor a little bit. Now, let me lay it out for you to start with, okay, and hopefully we'll get Adam to join in and he can correct me when I screw up. But the Northern Corridor, they had set up all those subdivisions and roads and everything are built out there, exit 13, to connect into what was going to be a road that would cut through the desert reserve and get it so that people who needed to be in Santa Clara or Ivins or really anywhere on the west side wouldn't have to go through the city of St. George to get there.
Yeah.
It seemed logical. And in fact, when they set it all up, they set it up with that in mind.
Yeah.
If you go out there, you look at exit 13, you look at the roads out there, they are set to connect to nothing right now.
Yeah.
With the idea that this road was someday going to be built. And so when they started getting a little pushback from the environmentalists, about the desert, the tortoise, you know, and all that stuff. They said, well, here, how about this? We'll give you a sect of land in another part of the county. It is, so it's actually, kind of southwest of here. That is 7,000 acres that will, you know, any tortoises will relocate them to there. This will be land that will never be developed. It'll never be a road. It'll be basically, we want your 300 acres for a road. We'll give you 7,000 acres. Right? So I hope this is this Adam on the phone with me here?
It is, Andy. How you doing?
Oh, there he is. Good. It didn't say Adam Snow on the caller ID. I was like, oh, I hope it's him. But I was poorly attempting to explain the original plan for the Northern Corridor, and I'm glad you called because you can maybe do it not as poorly as I do. But the original plan, Northern Corridor, just maybe give us the nuts and bolts, and then we'll kind of update people on what happened yesterday.
Yeah, I'll try and give you 25 years of history in 30 seconds.
You can do it.
The original plan is, in 2009, there was a bill signed by President Obama, passed through Congress, that said that the Secretary of the Interior shall designate a route for a northern corridor through the National Conservation Area. And in that same bill is what established the National Conservation Area for the Mojave Desert Tortoise. And set aside all of the Red Hills. It was already a reserve, and it put an additional layer of protection congressionally mandated on top of it. We fulfilled all of our obligations. We created the National Conservation Area. We invested millions and millions of dollars into the protection of the species, but we never got the road. So in the first Trump administration, the county applied for a road, a right-of-way, which was granted. They studied it. They did the entire NEPA work, which is National Environmental Policy work, to make sure that there was offsetting mitigation and that any disturbance for the habitat would be compensated. And it's about 154 acres is what the road will disturb of habitat. And we go forward and you know, we don't kill tortoises with it. We walk in front of the bulldozers and clear them and move them to better habitat. And then in exchange for that 154 acres, we were going to designate 7,000 acres of land in what a new area we call Zone 6. But Zone 6 only exists if we disturb the 154 acres for the road.
So 60 times as much land as you were going to use, you were going to give.
Yeah, normally it's a ratio of about 5 to 1. For mitigation. So this was way above and beyond.
Yeah.
And half of the land that was going to be established as part of an addition to the reserve is regular BLM land. It's multiple use. You can mountain bike, you can four wheel on it, you can hunt, you can do whatever you want on it. There's grazing on it. The other half is owned by the school institutional trust land. So it's owned for the benefit of the school kids. And SITLA said, that's owned by the state, and the SITLA said, you know what, we will set this land aside because the road will drive enough traffic through our exit 13 area over in Washington City, where we have a bunch of other land and the commercial development we're doing over there. It will drive enough traffic that we will still fulfill our mandate to make money for the school kids. Okay. So we're willing to put this land into conservation status over here in Mose Valley and Bear Claw Poppy area, highly popular with recreationists. Some of the trails, each individual trail gets over 100,000 cyclists a year.
Wow.
And so it's a very high recreation area. So they felt like they could still fulfill their mandate. Well, one small local environmental group, Conserve Southwest Utah, when President Biden administration came in, they immediately sued on that decision to grant us a right-of-way. The judge stopped us. They went through a backroom settlement agreement. The judge never signed off on that, but with a friendly administration, they said, okay, we're going to relook at our decision. Well, yesterday that decision came out, and it pulled back the Northern Corridor right-of-way, so we don't get our road anymore, so we still have all the bottlenecks on Red Cliffs Parkway and on St. George Boulevard trying to get through that cut in the hill for I-15. That's our bottleneck, and yeah, the Northern Corridor would have wrapped traffic around the hill, not through the hill. And then, but they fully acknowledge, yes, we will we will also be giving up and allowing development now in Zone 6. Well, CITLA says that, and this is the end of the story here, but CITLA says, well, look, if we're not going to drive all that traffic to Exit 13, we'll have wasted some dollars and time in trying to build up that commercial development where now you're not going to drive tens of thousands of cars a day there. So we've got to make our money somewhere else. And the next lowest hanging fruit, a highly desirable area, is we're going to develop and sell off Zone 6. So yeah, all that rock climbing and mountain biking and hiking and...
Uh-oh, I think we lost you, Adam. Are you still there? Dang it, he was just getting to the point where I had some questions I was going to ask him. Yeah. I hope he'll come back. Are you there, Adam?
Yeah, I'm oh, sorry, did I lose you?
Yeah, we lost you for just about 10 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, so hopefully you heard the end there that because of this this decision and this settlement agreement with Conserve Southwest Utah, Moe's Valley and all that recreation and hiking and cycling and everything, that's all open for development now.
All right, a couple of questions I wanted to ask you. Number one, is this the final answer? Is it over?
No, we will continue to fight. I think the area should be protected. It is highly popular with recreationists. And the only way you can try and make it whole, make CITLA whole, is the area is worth somewhere near $1 billion over the years. So you got to bring them $1 billion in cash or $1 billion in land that they can trade for.
Wow.
And nobody has that. Nobody has that. The federal government, some of the lands that they've been talking about, they've been using to purchase land, it's called LWCF funds, the entire national allotment is under $1 billion.
Oh,
so there's just nobody coming to buy up that land. The only way, so it's a pipe dream to say, we can protect it and have no road. No, how do you do that? The only way we can figure out to do that is the deal that we already made. We don't have to come with $1 billion in cash. We don't have to come with $1 billion in land. We can drive value at Exit 13 enough to compensate for the land in Zone 6. So we already had this protected. This was all set up. But because of the political ambitions of Conserve Southwest Utah, they have been the ones who and are solely to blame for the killing of that recreation area. And unfortunately, they haven't been honest about this. They've been saying, we can do both, we can do both. And a lot of the cycling groups and stuff have kind of bought off on that. So
yeah,
that's where we're at today. Is it over, your question? No, we will continue to fight and try and get back what we thought was a really good deal the first time. But...
True BLM has recommended then that we turn Red Hills Parkway into a belt route, kind of almost like a little freeway belt route? Is that what they're wanting us to do now?
Yes.
That sounds terrible.
It's unbuildable. It's a horrible idea. It's unbuildable. We've talked to UDOT. It violates every standard of the Federal Highways Administration, which you would think the federal government would talk to itself.
Yeah.
But they didn't, because Federal Highways will never approve that. And it doesn't do anything to solve it still puts all the traffic on the same side of that cut in the hill for I-15. So it doesn't do anything to alleviate the bottleneck. That cut is wall-to-wall asphalt right now. You got frontage road on the left, I-15 in the middle, frontage road on the right.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more
room
to put any more people at all.
Wow.
So that's why we tried to get around the hill. And so this expressway doesn't actually do anything to serve the bottleneck there. It does move cars, but it's a right in, right out. So if you're heading west and you need to head east, you'll have to go all the way to Bluff Street, flip a U-turn, and come all the way back. There's no way to turn around or turn left to head east on the road at all. It's unbuildable, and it's a ridiculous dream.
So can when you fight this, is that something you can tell them? Say, hey, this is a great idea. Well, no, it's not actually. This is a terrible idea. It's unbuildable. Will they listen to that at all?
No, because they don't care. This is a political. I mean, nobody in there. I have a 9-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
She understands that 154 to 7,000 is a good deal for the tortoise. So yeah. It's not about the tortoise. The area we were going to develop, or the zone six that we were going to protect, that they now can develop, has the highest densities in Washington County of tortoises. So if you're talking about, if we love the threatened tortoise, you're not killing this road for the tortoise, because it is, the biological opinion says it is better off with zone six.
Yeah.
You're not doing it for transportation, because it doesn't solve anything for transportation, the plan that they had. This is a political ambition for donors only. Mm. And we just have to be able to call a spade at some point, and that's exactly what this is. Their donors want to kill off the road. That's one of their stated plans. Growth and transportation is against their mission. And I think the people of Washington County need to understand that this is what Conserve Southwest is.
What's next, Adam? What are you going to do next?
Well, this week changed the landscape for us a little bit, because we have, we've had partnerships that transcended political parties for decades. I mean, under Obama, we could still work with them. Under Trump, we could work with them. This administration destroyed those. Even people on the ground that say, they don't agree with these decisions, they're being made back in D.C. We have great relationships with the local people, but their bosses are saying, this is what you'll do, and you'll do this not for the benefit of the habitat or for a species or for conservation. You'll do this because this is what our political class wants us to do. Hmm. And so now that the incoming Trump administration will have a partner again in the federal government that we can work with, I can't make decisions for them, right? But at least we know many of the people, and we'll make calls, and we'll see what we can do to try and undo this horrible political decision.
All right. Adam Snow, County Commissioner. And by the way, I failed to do this. Adam, congratulations on your victory Tuesday in the election. I know a lot of people say, well, as a Republican, it's a foregone conclusion, but it was, nothing's foregone, and I'm glad you're in for another term. That'll be really big for us.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this is my first full term. I've only been serving the end of Dean Cox's special term so far. So I won my first full term, and I'm happy to keep my foot on the gas while we keep working on these issues.
Very good.
But thank you for the congratulations.
Very good. Thank you, Adam. Thank you for calling today. Really appreciate
it. Thanks a lot.
Mello, I mean, you imagine trying to turn that road, I'm looking at it right now, Red Hills Parkway, into a freeway?
No.
There's not room. And he says it's unbuildable. Literally, what would you do? It would take they estimate it would take $350 million to build that road.
That's crazy.
If you could actually build it, which Adam calls it unbuildable. So
no, I was excited for another route because I'm on the west side.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine getting off the freeway and taking the northern corridor all the way over to Santa Clara and not having to go through St. George.
Oh, it'd be so nice.
Yeah. Instead, they want to build the freeway where there's nowhere to put it.
I think there'll be a chance. I think they can undo it.
I think so. Especially with the, change in administration at the top.
Exactly.
So, all right. Time for a weather break. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to a Friday on the Andy Griffin Show. You're welcome to call in. 673-5890 is the phone number if you have thoughts or ideas on the Northern Corridor, at least for now, getting the boot. The BLM says, no, you guys need to build a belt route, a freeway, essentially, that connects I-15 and loops around St. George. That's why they call it a belt loop, by the way. It kind of loops around St. George, and will get you to the east side. And, Adam Snow, County Commissioner, said it's unbuildable. There's not room for a freeway. There just is not room. I agree with him.
Agreed.
So, all right, couple of things. Mel, I want to appeal to your womanhood here for a second, okay? All over social media, there are women out there who are freaking out, I guess, for lack of a better word, because Donald Trump won.
Oh.
They are, I've never felt less safe as a woman than I feel right now. the world's going to, women are going to be second-class citizens from here on out. And et cetera. I mean, there was one lady ranting yesterday online. I was just like, are you kidding me? talk about sore losers. And anyway, Mello's answering the phone, so we'll let her answer the phone for a second. But Mello, it offends me a little bit, not because I voted for Trump, but because some very smart, very savvy, very intelligent women I know voted for Trump. And what all these women are saying is basically, I am smarter than you, Mello. I am smarter than Shelley. I am smarter than all these powerful, wonderful, strong women. These women are going online and saying, I know that Trump is evil, and you guys should have listened to me, and you didn't listen. Shame on you. To me, that's offensive, and I don't know how you feel about it, Mello, but...
Yeah, I actually had a conversation with two women. One was a teenager mm-hmm. who happens to live in my house, and I don't know how liberal was born there. And then another friend of mine who is a lesbian, and I went in and talked to my daughter right after Trump got elected in the morning, and I was like, good morning. She's like, hello. I'm like, what's going on? Are you okay? She's like... Just all of my rights were taken away. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's what she said.
All my rights were taken
away. Yeah, and then I talked to another friend of mine who is a lesbian, and she's like, well, your president won. I'm like, okay, I'm not calling to have that conversation, but that's great. And she's like, just so you know, I'm probably going to be moving out of the country because all of my rights are going to be taken away now. Oh, I'm like, gosh. I don't think that that's going to happen. And then they were telling me about the Trump Bible. Just like, I'm going to grab that other line.
Yeah, okay. You grab the phone, and I'll the thing I don't understand, the thing that's kind of making me crazy about all this is that where were they in 2016 through 2020? Were they not here then? And maybe your daughter wasn't cognizant of politics back then because of her age, but where were these people when he was president before? Did he take away people's rights?
No, he took away no rights.
So. Did he make women second-class citizens? Did he cancel same-sex marriage? Did he do any of that?
No, I think there's some propaganda going around. I've got to figure out more about what this Trump Bible is. And I heard it's $59.99, and I received the link from it from this friend.
Yeah,
and she said, I don't want to buy it, but you could buy it for me for Christmas because I really want to see what it is, but I don't want to support him.
Well, yeah, I don't want to get too much into that. But no. The thing that just amazes me is all these women who think the world is coming to an end because Trump won. And it's like... He was president before, okay? Everything was all right. In fact, everything was better than it is now.
Exactly.
When he was president.
And you have caller on line one and line two.
All right, we'll go to line one first. And, hi, thanks for calling in. What's up?
Happy Friday, Andy.
Hey, happy Friday to you. How you been?
I've been good since Wednesday. Excellent, actually.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Got a future back. I'm happy to say. Anyway, on these women thing, I heard something on the radio station yesterday. A bunch of these lefty women are closing their knees.
They're doing what?
For sex for anybody.
Oh.
That'll show it.
Teach us a lesson, huh?
Like they said, who wants to have it with some of these crazy broads? But anyway, let's get back to the important subject. With this new guy going to be in office... And he's going to start axing things. Maybe the BLM will get off their high horse. Because that's BS. That was already wrote into the contract when we traded property, wasn't it?
Yeah, the entire contract was built around getting this road eventually. And they basically double-crossed us. They went back on their word. And, it's BS, you're right, for lack of a better description.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And, this belt route, where are they going to put that, you know? There's no way feasible because it's all BLM land up there unless we go up really far against the mountain. Then it's Forest Service, and then you got those guys to deal with. So.
Yeah, it's going to be...
I don't know. It'll be interesting. Hope we get some sanity back in our government, though.
You know what's crazy is these environmentalists, in delaying this road, and then now it's going to be years and years and years before there's a resolution... They're making the traffic worse and worse and worse, which is hurting the environment because more cars are sitting there in traffic, idling, polluting our air because we can't get where we need to go. They're making it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Well, I've lived in St. George most of my adult life, and you don't have to tell me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bad. Thanks, guy. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for the call. All right, let's go to line two. Hey, thanks for holding on. Appreciate you hanging in there this morning. What's up?
You bet, Andy. How are the two of you doing this morning there?
Really good.
We're good, yeah.
Excellent. Yes, the Trump and the women thing about the women, I feel it's very unfortunate. I would say that the mainstream, like President Trump calls them, fake news, has succeeded in that area very much for misleading the women, telling mm-hmm. them complete lies.
Yeah.
Thing. It's just through the whole campaign, I felt frustrated. Like, straighten out the women of what the truth is. It's gone to the states. Each state is individual. Anyway, with the mainstream media, I heard him saying is Trump is going to tear your baby out from you or lock you up if you're pregnant or just, I mean, all kinds of lies to try to scare the women to death.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I'm not over exaggerating it.
No, it's you're not. Like
they're calling him.
No, we're losing you here.
Dang it.
I feel to the information voter, they get just snippets of news and on probably liberal, you know, sides that have completely fed them a whole bunch of lies that they think is the truth, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Well, and here's some numbers for you. These are, to me, fascinating. Kamala Harris, in the short time that she was a nominee, raised more money, over $1 billion,
wow,
of special interest people giving her money to try to get her elected. Amazingly, by the way, this is just a side fact, she spent more than that. She spent $20 million extra. She's actually in the hole. Apparently, $1 billion wasn't enough. So she spent all that money. She had the media on her side, nonstop cheerleading from the media, plus all the celebrity endorsements, Taylor Swift, Oprah Winfrey, you know, all these celebrity endorsements, and she lost. And it's because the American people, the regular people that I always talk about, you know, I went on that cruise out of Texas a couple of years ago, and I saw moms and dads and families, and to me, that's America still.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And that's why she lost. And you, special interest people pouring all your money into there. It didn't work. We're not buying it.
One thing I did hear about from the liberal people I spoke to was Project 25.
2025, yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah, it's something that Trump said he has nothing to do with. And yet they're trying to say that that's
right.
His
they're
baby.
Attaching it to her, to yeah. him. And yeah. that's what she was so mad about. She's like, you haven't even done your research. You don't know anything. And they're going to make me leave and I won't be able to have a wife anymore.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, we're going to kick them right out of the country.
So ridiculous. I'm like, are you listening to yourself?
I will say this. We are going to kick people out of the country, but
yes. It's
people who are here illegally that we're going to kick out of the country.
Yes.
And that, actually, I'm looking forward to. I got to get another break in. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, we are short on time, and there's a couple of things I want to take care of before we get going too far. Number one, okay, I got a buddy. His name is Cade. You've heard maybe talk about him a little bit. He is a veteran of he served in Afghanistan for a year and a half. Loves this country, is a patriot and a veteran. He opened a barbecue place up in Parowan. He lives in Parowan. Every time I go up north, I hit the high voltage barbecue because his food is, he uses real Texas post oak to smoke his brisket. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it is transcendently great. Anyway, he loves veterans. He loves our country. And this weekend, actually tomorrow, he is putting on a Veterans Day barbecue at high voltage. Now it's 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow. And, he is going to, if you're a veteran, if you can show an ID card that says you served in the armed forces anywhere, Coast Guard, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, am I missing anyone? Anyway, if you served in the military, if you're a veteran, free barbecue for you tomorrow at High Voltage Barbecue, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Also, he has got some raffles going. He's giving away things like suppressors for your guns. He's actually giving away a flamethrower I'm not kidding around. He's giving away a flamethrower as part of this raffle. All the money, it's charitable. All the money from the raffle will go directly to veterans organizations in southern Utah. And anyway, and of course, if you go, if you're not a veteran, you go and buy some barbecue, yeah, you'll pay for it. But a portion of that money also goes to supporting veterans. So I think it's a fantastic deal. And I may figure out a way to get up to Parowan tomorrow afternoon and get some brisket. He also has brisket and turkey that he will smoke for you for the holidays. So if you don't, if you like smoked turkey but don't feel like actually getting the smoker, it's a long smoke. That's like a 12-hour, 18-hour smoke. He'll smoke one for you.
I do want to smoke a turkey this year.
It's in conjunction with, of course, Monday is Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. So it's in conjunction with Veterans Day. And, again, it's 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow at High Voltage Barbecue in Parowan, right off the freeway. I mean, he's literally 1 minute from the freeway, maybe less, maybe 45 seconds from the freeway on the north exit of Parowan. And, yeah, his barbecue, like I said, it's real Texas, West Texas barbecue with the post oak smokers. He has a smoker that's as big. I mean, it's like 40 feet long. It's huge.
Wow.
I don't know how long it really is, but it's gigantic. And Cade just wants to support veterans. He just wants us to appreciate those that served our country. So,
I love that so much. Yeah.
I also got a text here. Anyway, yeah, go up to, you know what? Let's meet up there for lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay. This is a pretty good text. This is a text I got just a moment ago. The BLM knew that the city could not widen Red Hills Parkway when they made that recommendation. It would also mean that Pioneer Park would be gone and they would have to cut into the Sugarloaf to make that roadway. I think Trump administration will overturn the BLM. Also, Dixie haters would love to get rid of that rock, and they seem to be the same ones pushing for this BLM option.
Wow.
I love that. That was a great text. Very, yes. Very well written. I don't know who wrote it, but I thank you for sending in that text. You vocalized or actually wrote some of the things that I was thinking myself. Basically, it's the government, the BLM, saying you have to do this. They've issued an edict which cannot be fulfilled.
On purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They said, you have to do it this way. And that's there is no other answer. We're giving you no other option. This is the way it has to be. Adam Snow and the county will continue to fight it.
Yeah.
And it would break my heart to see them try to put a freeway belt route right over there.
That'd be terrible.
That Sugarloaf.
We don't want that.
No, we do not want it at all.
And we don't want those other public lands to be taken away.
Yeah. Another text. Are we likely to win the House of Representatives? Last I checked, the Republicans needed like 10 more, or 8, something like that, to get a majority. There are still 20-something of them up. We need to win 8 out of the, I don't know, 23 or something like that. So a smaller percent. Like we need to win just like a third of what's left, and the Republicans will have a majority. And you want to talk about a big difference here. We won the Senate. Republicans won the Senate, won the White House. If they can win the House of Representatives, things will move. Things will happen. If we don't win it, it's going to be, you know, Jimmy Kesten said that they're going to start impeaching Donald Trump from day one. It's going to be
I don't want that again.
A bunch of heads butting. Yeah, like the last 2 years of the Trump administration. So right now it looks good. But again, a lot of the races are too close to call. I think they need, last I checked, and this was yesterday, so it may have changed, but we needed like 8 out of 20-something, which is pretty good odds.
It was close. Yeah, so, it's a lot closer than their majority option.
Yeah, for sure. So working on a deal, by the way, in future times to get Spencer Cox on this show on a semi-regular basis. Also, used to have Mike Lee on all the time, and he changed media guys like 3 times over the last 2 years. And so I'm going to try to get in and get Mike Lee on the show on a regular basis. Usually the people of that high position, I can only get them for like 5 or 10 minutes. So it's not going to be like a whole show. But I really do want to have them on. I think it's important.
I do.
So, we'll end with a story. Mello, you have 1 minute to tell me the story about how you met your husband and fell in love.
My current husband or my last husband?
No, your current one. You got 30 seconds now, though. You just used it up.
Okay. I was working at Star Nursery, and I was working in the rock yard, and he had a landscaping company.
Really?
And he came in, and one time he came in on a Saturday, and he had his best flip-flops on. I was like, well, that's weird. He's all cleaned up, and he's here on a Saturday. And he's like, what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, oh, my sister's coming into town. It's like, oh, I'm like, oh, shoot, I think he was going to ask me out, and I totally missed it.
Oh, you blew it.
I did. So he came in again in the week.
10 seconds.
And I said, hey, I'm really hungry. He's like, oh, you want to go to lunch? I'm like, if you're buying. And that was it.
Date number one turned into a love affair. I love it. All right. Great story. Thanks, Bella. We got to go.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.